Praise God. We're speaking about what faith is. And we had a look at Hebrews 11:6 as an introduction last time. And we saw that faith, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 6, verse 10 to 12, we saw that through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. We saw in 1 John 5, verse 4 and 5, that it is through faith that we overcome the world system. We saw in Mark 11, verse 12 to 14 and verse 19 to 24, we saw about the fig tree. Now, faith is a product of the human spirit. It comes out of the human spirit, and it has been placed there by God through His Word. And just to go back to that part of the fig tree, something must have come out of Jesus and gone into that tree to cause it to wither up and wither away, to dry up like it did. That's how powerful faith is. And we need to understand that walking by faith, we are handling the riches of the kingdom. We are handling the power of the kingdom. And so if Jesus could speak to a tree and it would wither up and dry up like that, it means there's something that actually moved in the spirit. There's something that was transferred onto that tree. So there is a spiritual substance. Now, Hebrews 11, verse 1, we know that faith is a substance. And we will still touch on Hebrews 11, verse 1. Faith is a substance. It's a substance that comes out of the heart of God. So in other words, if I would speak to a tree, if God led me to speak to a tree, then it would wither up and just die and so forth. Or I could speak to a dead tree and it could come alive. That's also possible. Just depends on how God leads me. But we need to look at that example. We've heard it so many times that we don't actually realize something came out of Jesus and went into the tree and killed it. But that same power is within each one of us. That same faith. Remember we spoke about have the faith of God. You know, the scripture in the King James says, have faith in God. But the actual original language says, have the faith of God. Now, if he says, have the faith of God, then it means he thinks that we can actually have his faith. Because faith, where else will it come from? True God kind of faith, the true God kind of faith. We're not talking about human faith. Remember, we discussed human faith. I mean, again, I'm sure nobody checked these chairs that you're sitting on to see if they're going to hold you. You're just acting a normal human faith. Okay? But there's a supernatural God kind of faith, and it comes by the Spirit of God. It comes into you when you are born again. And there is substance to it. And we need to learn, and we need to know how to flow with that, and need to know how to release that into the lives of people. And so, remember, think about that fig tree. Think about how you deal with your family, with people, with circumstances. What you are actually speaking into those circumstances. What are you actually speaking into those people? Because if your heart is in it, and your faith is in it, it better be the right kind of faith. Because otherwise, you can turn a situation around for the wrong reason or for the wrong way. Amen? Matthew 21, verse 21 and 22, we saw that he said, if you have faith, then you can do certain things. So there is an if. There's certain things that you will not do as a Christian, and you will not accomplish as a Christian if you do not have faith. If you are a Christian, then you already have that seed of faith within you. You have that measure of faith. The Bible talks about the measure of faith. How big is the measure? I don't know how big the measure is, but when we get born again, everybody gets the measure of faith, that special measure. And maybe it's the size of a mustard seed. But you know what? He expects it to grow a massive mustard tree. He expects you to grow it into that. And to grow a tree to that size, you need to water it, you need to do whatever is necessary to cause it to grow like that. In Colossians 2:12, we saw the faith of God in action. Well, in fact, actually, we will talk about that today, I think. Let's go to Matthew 21, what I was just discussing. Matthew 21. So, without faith it is impossible to please God. Through faith and patience we inherit the promises. Through faith we overcome the world. Faith, there's a substance in it. And we're starting to see something now. There's a progression in these verses that I've been given. Jesus spoke to the tree. Faith gets released from the heart through the mouth. So don't let anybody ever come to you and say, no, I pray in my head. And I'm not saying you can't do that. But I don't believe there's anything more powerful than somebody that's prepared to open their mouth and speak it out. Because we see in Genesis chapter 1, God spoke everything into existence. And he didn't just say once, and God spoke the earth, the moon, the stars, the fruit, and the fishes, and the birds, and etc. into existence. No. He kept saying, and God said, and God said, and God said, and God said. Why would he do that? It's so that this little peanut on top of your shoulders can actually understand that God is speaking something. And you and I are created in his image. And somehow, if we can speak the right thing, if we can line up our mouths with the word of God and speak the word of God, laced with the anointing of God and infused with faith, then it'll come to pass. The reason why it hasn't come to pass is because we have had very little character and we have had very little Christ-likeness in our lives. But it's the time for the sons of God to be birthed and revealed into the earth. So there's a progression. Matthew 21, verse 21 and 22. Let's look at that. And Jesus answered them. Now this is again about the fig tree, right? Verse 20, it says, when the disciples saw the tree, they marveled greatly and asked, how is it that the fig tree has withered away all at once? I mean, I'm sure we would wonder about that. If we didn't know about faith, here comes this guy, and he starts talking to the trees, and then they die. I'm sure the owner of the fruit trees on this property here would be very blessed by that, if his trees had to die. So they were astonished that the fig tree had withered away all at once. Verse 21, and Jesus answered them, truly I say to you, if you have faith, if you have faith, and do not doubt. Listen carefully what it says. If you have faith and do not doubt. Can you doubt and then have faith? Can you have faith and then doubt? No, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even I say to you this, even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it will be done. That's a physical mountain. But whatever the mountain may be, it might be a mountain in business. It might be a bill that your business or something has at the end of the month that needs to be paid. You might need a new job. Your husband, wife might need a new job. Something. Your children might need work. Whatever it is, there may be health that is needed. Whatever that mountainous situation is, you start speaking to it. You start calling those things which are not as though they are. It will be done if you speak to it. We need to just speak in line with the word of God. Verse 22, and whatever you ask for in prayer. See how this works. Faith comes before prayer. We have this notion in the church, and I may have stomped on this before. People will fast and pray. And you say, why? Then they normally don't tell you that God told them. No, I want to increase my faith. Where in the scripture does it tell you that through fasting and prayer it's going to increase your faith? Well, they pray specifically for something. Fast for something. Yeah, but God's not even in it. It doesn't say through your multiple prayers you're going to increase your faith. It doesn't say through your fasting you will increase your faith. It doesn't say by praising and worshiping God for 14 hours it's going to increase your faith. Yes, faith may come through praise and worship if there's some scripture in that praise and worship. And some of the praise and worship, I have some of it lately, or some of it, not all of it, but some of it, man, listen, it's just emotions. Oh Lord, please come and bless me. I'm so lonely without you. I'm so hungry. Okay, yes, we can be hungry for him. We need to hunger and thirst for righteousness. But you know what? Where is God if we have to plead and beg him to come? And so we sing all these songs. That's got no word in them. And it's just emotions. And I'm not saying we can't go to God and say to him, Lord, I am lonely today. But what I've learned, if I go to God and say, I'm lonely, then he comes with his word and he'll say to me, just go and read some stuff there. And before long, he speaks to me through the word and I have no reason to be lonely because all of a sudden I realize that he said to me, I will be with you forever. In fact, I live within you. What reason do you have to be lonely? I'm your comforter. I'm your guide. I'm there with you. Through the fire, through whatever storm, I am there with you. If we allow him to just be himself, when we are ourselves, he will come and change us. He'll say, yes, you may be lonely and you may be fearful and you may be so and so and so and so and so, but this is who I am. And in that glorious light, it all changes. So I'm saying through our fasting, our prayer, jumping up and down, waving the flags and the whole thing. Okay. What faith comes? Nothing really. I've been in the meetings and I would scream until I couldn't hear myself anymore. I've been talking like this for 3 days. And then the Lord would get hold of me and he says, okay, now this is actually what I was going to do. So, look at this progression. They see that the tree has withered away all at once. Then he says, have faith, or if you have faith and not doubt, you will not only do this, the situation, whatever the situation is, will change. And then, and remember he spoke to the tree. And in verse 22, and whatever you ask for, how do you ask? You ask with your mouth. You open your mouth and you speak to your Father. Right? Whatever you ask for in prayer, having faith, you will receive. Whatever you ask for, in other words, speaking, releasing words, having faith, speaking, having faith. And really believing, that's what the Amplified says, you will receive. You see, many times we have this mental assent thing. Yes, no, Lord, your word is true. But it's not ringing true inside here, in your spirit, in your heart. It's not ringing true there. But when your head and your heart come into agreement, and you are absolutely convinced, and that doubt is gone, because that's what it says, if you have faith and do not doubt, tell you now, if you have faith, we all have had that moment where the head and the heart click and all of a sudden it's like eternity and the natural meet at the same time. And you know this thing is going to happen. And it just happens. Because the spiritual comes into the natural and changes the natural. We've all had that. But you know what? We can walk in that. That's what he wants for us. Jesus walked in it. He didn't step in and out of it. We need to walk in the spirit so that we do not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. If we have faith. So what that means to me is that there are times that I could possibly not have faith. If you have faith. So we need to strive to walk in faith. We need to strive to have our hearts and minds renewed with the Word of God. To have the Word planted in our hearts. So that faith is there. Faith is present. Because faith comes by hearing the Word of God. That's where faith comes from. Not by me praying 40 years. And I'm not saying don't fast. You've heard me say, you know, question yourself the moment you have a desire to fast. Question, make sure that you're actually hearing God. Amen. Let's look at some of God's faith in action. And I mean, you can just go to Genesis 1 and see that. But let's look at some scriptures in the New Testament, or just one. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. And this scripture is, it'll ring true for you because you're sitting here because of this very scripture, because of God's faith in action. Colossians 2, verse 12. Okay, verse 12. Thus, you were circumcised when you were buried with him in your baptism. Okay, so we were all baptized. In which you were also raised with him to a new life through your faith. Whose faith? Through your faith. But how did the faith come? Because you first heard about Jesus. You first heard that he had died for you. You first heard that his blood has cleansed you, and etc., and that your sins are forgiven, and so on. And so you heard that he was raised from the dead. You were also raised with him to a new life through your faith in the working of God. Now the Amplified says, as displayed when he raised him up from the dead. The working of God's faith, you see there, when Jesus was raised from the dead, you saw the faith of God working. There was never a doubt in God's heart and mind that Jesus was not going to raise from the dead. He knew. He had no other knowledge except that knowledge. And because of that faith in God's heart, that faith is imparted to us. So we look at that and we see he was raised from the dead. So guess what? Our faith works because of that. So that's God's faith in action. God's faith in action through you. That's the only source of true faith, is God. So, somebody was saying to me, oh, I don't have strong faith. I don't have a little faith. Oh, yes, I know who it is. No, I don't have faith like you. And I said, but you're born again. You this, you that. I said, you do have faith. You just need to learn how to use it. You need to know what it is. You need to... It's not... Faith is not a philosophy, like with most people. I mean, Julia, if you go into the street now and you speak to people and say, do you believe? They'll say, yes. What do you believe? Well, then they'll tell you all sorts of stuff. But there will not be a substance of faith that is going out somewhere to trust God and change something, to bring in something, something into manifestation, into the natural. That's the kind of faith we're talking about. You know, there's a scripture that says that there must be the unity of the faith in the church. The church must come to the unity of the faith. And we have tried for years and years and years. Okay, well, what do you believe? How many times do you believe, Doug, that we should baptize somebody? Dunk them under three times in the name of the Father, Ketums, in the name of the Son, Ketums, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Or shall we just do it once in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? Or like another man, because they wanted to cover all bases, because if you see how they baptize, how Paul baptized, in one place he baptizes in the name of Jesus, and in another place he baptizes in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, is Paul confused? So they said, well, the scripture is true, so I'll tell you what we do. So when we baptize Jules now, we're going to dip her under three times, and we're going to say, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. So we've got it all covered. I was at those meetings where they did that. So, we've seen God in action. We've all seen him in action. And this person that was saying to me, well, you know, I don't have faith like you. I had to correct him. I said, no, you do. Because you wouldn't be doing half the stuff that you're doing if you don't have faith. Mm. And so his perspective changed. But our perspective needs to change as well. You have the measure of faith. You have faith in your heart. If the situation arises that you need to raise somebody from the dead, you will be able to do it. But you will not be able to do it if faith is not in your heart. We were at a meeting here in Centurion many years ago. And it was actually kind of a praise kind of a meeting. And a close friend of ours, Joel knows who she is, she dropped dead in the meeting. But there were people falling down under the power of God in the meeting. But, you know, somebody under the power of God, you can see they're still okay. You know, they still have rosy cheeks and so on. This woman fell down, and let me tell you, she turned pasty. She was not the right color. And I looked at that, and everybody, well, praise God, you know, God is moving. And I looked at that, and I thought, that person is dead. And she was dead. And so I was busy. I think I was leading the praise and worship or something. I was playing my guitar and so on. So I tried to get Annika's attention. I said, you know, and she immediately picked up in the spirit. And for that moment, the gift of faith operated through her, working in miracles, whatever was needed at that point in time. I saw my wife swing into action right there, and she started calling her. And she was shouting. I mean, there was quite a noise in the meeting, and she was shouting, "You will live and not die. You will live and not die." And she did that for about 3 or 4 minutes, and all of a sudden a woman came around. She looked around, and I didn't understand her reaction. None of us actually understood her reaction. But she'd been gone. She was already in heaven. And so she said afterwards when she disappeared for 2 or 3 weeks, and she was angry with us. She said, "How could you do that to me? I was already there. I was talking to him. And I'm standing in front of him and I hear this voice. You will live and not die. You will live and not die." And he said, "I've got to let you go. There's somebody calling you. Somebody's releasing their faith for you." And she said she could hear, "You will live and not die. You will live and not die." Whoop, and she's back in her body. And she woke up and she said, she could not believe from that peaceful situation being with Jesus and all of a sudden back in her body. And she got angry. And she walked out of the meeting. We didn't hear from her for 3 weeks. And, well, you know who she is. That's just how she is. And so I'm telling you that because many years later, we were living on a plot not so far from here, on a property. And a friend of Annika, when she still lived in Holland, they also moved to South Africa. And they used to, at the Menandi Circle, they used to have a little store there and they used to sell all sorts of goods and so on. It was part of their business. And they had a young son, 15 years old. They came home from church on a Sunday. So he sat down on the couch next to his dad and there was nothing wrong with him. Next moment he just took a deep breath, breathed out and he died on the spot. Just died. And so they phoned us and traumatized and so on. And so Annika says to me, "But she really thinks she should go and raise the man from the dead." But I couldn't tell her that. I had no thing in my spirit that said, "Go and raise him from the dead." And so she had this urgency to do that for like, I think, 2 or 3 days. And then the urgency left her. But it would have meant that she would have had to go to the mortuary and the whole thing like that would have been a real step of faith. But she was not sure. Now compare that to the situation where our friend dropped down and she was just, the gift of faith just operated. Now there's a difference between our normal faith that we operate and the gift of faith. When the gift of faith operated, Annika raised that woman from the dead. But she had an unction. She sensed in her heart that she needed to go and raise up this boy from the dead. And so she spoke to me. I said, "Annika, if that's what you want to do, you must do it." But, you know, I couldn't say to her, "This is what the Lord is saying." I had nothing in my heart. And so it was a lesson for all of us. She should have just stepped out in faith and gone and done it. If the man was raised from the dead, well, praise God. Then a different facet of her ministry would have started to become. Come and preach in our church. We hear that you raise people from the dead. So anyway, and so for a long time, probably 2 or 3 years, she walked with this thing in her heart because she felt terrible. She felt guilty because she felt that the people were robbed of their son and so forth. And that if she was obedient, she could have gone and raised him from the dead, etc., etc., etc. But she found peace in the fact that she did not really have that unction to function. Yes, God, it's quite possible God would have honored her faith if she had stepped out. Maybe God was showing her, okay, I allowed the gift of faith to operate through you and show you that it can be done. Now I'm just giving you an instruction. Go and raise him from the dead. And then I'll show you. And then that's the walk of faith that she needed to walk. But he could have done that with anything else. And so he's trained her in other ways to exercise her faith, just like he's trained me and like he's busy training all of us. So, many times, when we need to walk in faith, when we are required to walk in faith, it's simply an unction in our hearts. But you will know, there'll be a solidness within your spirit. There'll be no doubt if you have faith and do not doubt. There will be that strong knowing within you. When I was still working for a boss many years ago, God would always tell me if there was problems in the company about 2-3 months before the time. He would prepare me and say, okay, start trusting me for another job. And trust me that they will pay you out, and they will release you and give you a good report, and etc., etc. And I would do that. And I would always leave about a month before either the company would go bankrupt or close down or something would go wrong with the company, and God would release me. But the day I step out of there, I just knew in my heart. I would then look in the paper. I would look at a few adverts. One would witness with my spirit. I would know this is the job. I'd pick up the phone. They tell me to come for the interview. I go there. There's a whole room full of people. I know this is my job. I sit there and I actually feel sorry for these people because I already know this is my job. They're just going through the motions. The guy who's going to interview me doesn't even know that I'm going to be working for him. That's the advantage we have. Because by faith, my faith was working. I had this knowing on the inside of me. And I'm not talking about the gift of faith operating here. I took the time to go and wait on God and to hear from Him. And I spent the time with Him. I prayed in the Spirit enough for my spirit to be sensitive, to know God's leading. So when I stepped into something, I just knew this is my job. And I would get it every time. I think it's we could say it's an unfair advantage. But you know what? That's the advantage of walking in the kingdom of God, of living in the kingdom of God, of manifesting the kingdom of God, of walking by faith. But it doesn't just have to be with a simple thing like trying to find a job. Or maybe finding a job is not such a simple thing, especially today. People are struggling. But you know this faith thing, if we can grasp this, this is the foundation of our whole Christian walk. Everything is built on that. Faith that works by love. It is faith that pleases God. I remember Annika, she was involved with Toastmasters, and she was involved with Dale Carnegie with public speaking and so on. So she met a lot of people, and you all know her. She's, you know, she likes to talk to everybody, and everybody's next, and I'll hug and love you and kiss you, you know. And there was this young woman, strong potential. She's 25, 26 years old, and she was just going from job to job. She had qualifications. She had a good track record. Really fantastic person. I never met her, but she told me about it. So Annika, being the woman that she is, she knows how to walk by faith. She just said to her, you know what you do? You decide which job you want. And this lady was a Christian. She said, you have favor with God. Which job is it that you want? And she said, that one. So Annika said to her, I tell you what you do. You go and buy a bunch of flowers, put a little note with it and attach your CV to this, and you actually go there and deliver it at the company and say, look, I'm here, and if you think I fit the profile for whatever it is, the job was, I'm here. I'm available. She dropped the flowers off. I mean, how unusual is that? You know, you don't do stuff like that, man. You go and sit there and, you know, they scrutinize you. She got a phone call and she got the job, just like that. But it was a step in faith. Now maybe next time that will not work for her. She needs to hear what God is saying to her. But at this point, Annika was the voice of God to her. Buy a bunch of flowers, put a little letter with it, go and drop it off, put the person's name on, and let them go and give it to her, that person in their office. So the person was so impressed, canceled all the other appointments, got her to go and work for the company. Unfair advantage? Fair advantage. If you're in the kingdom of God, he just likes you. He dotes over you. You're his special child. Amen? Right. So, we've seen the faith of God in action. Let's have a look at Isaiah 51, verse 16. Now, keep in mind, we're saying that our faith is released with our mouth through words. And so we're starting to go more and more that direction. Isaiah 51, verse 16 basically just says this, the first part of that verse. And I have put my words in your mouth. I have put my words in your mouth. Verse 15 says, for I am the Lord your God who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar and by rebuke restrains it. How does he rebuke the waves? He speaks to it. The Lord of hosts is his name. Where does he live? He lives inside you. Can you yield to the Spirit of God? Yes. Can you speak what he says? Yes. And I have put my words in your mouth. Do you believe he has put his words in your mouth? Yes. I believe that. Isaiah chapter 1. So just a couple of chapters back. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19 and 20. Now this gets a little bit closer to home now. I can say all this about faith and speaking and all that, but the heart has to be right. We must be willing to do that. So, verse 19 says here, well, let's go to verse 18. Let's go to verse 17. Let's even go to verse 16. If we're going to walk by faith, we're going to assume that we're walking righteously before the Lord. So, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. How do we do evil? Not only our deeds, but it's what's in our hearts and what comes out of our mouths. I would go this far and say sometimes we just speak idle words and that's not pleasing to the Lord. And I'm not saying we can't tell jokes and have fun and just relax at times. I'm not saying we can't do that. But it's when we put some spiritual oomph behind our words and we actually hurt people and we do damage with our mouths and we start criticizing, we slander people and so on. Let's look at that. Verse 17, learn to do right. Seek justice, relieve the oppressed and correct the oppressor. Defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So let's just, you know, go to the Lord. Keep a clean slate before God. Keep a short account. Verse 19. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Notice, willing and obedient. In this walk of faith, we need to be both willing and obedient. Your heart needs to be willing. And that same heart needs to be submitted to the obedience. We want to say a lot of different things. We want to do all sorts of stuff with this authority that we've been given, the spiritual power that we've been given. Because remember, he says, I have placed before you death and life. Choose life. The power of death and life is where? In the tongue. Can I as a Christian speak death? Yes. Can I speak death in the will of God? Yes, because I can tell a tree to die. The same way as Paul can say, I hand so-and-so over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh so that their soul may be saved in the day of the Lord. So you can't speak that. But you need to be yielded to the Spirit of God. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Willing and obedient with this mouth of ours. Your mouth is powerful. Your mouth is most of the time connected directly to your heart. It bypasses the brain. And that sometimes is a problem. I saw in a library when I was at school, still, I did go to school, it said, before opening mouth, make sure brain is engaged. And sometimes as Christians, we need to do that. A lot of what we speak is not by the Spirit of God, it's by our own carnality and emotions and stupidity that we speak stuff. And so we need to check that what's coming out of our mouth, we need to check that it's the Word of God. We need to speak with wisdom and understanding. We need to be circumspect in the way that we release our words. And that's why our minds need to be renewed. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Do you see that? You will be devoured by the sword. What sword? Do we still kill people with a sword today? What sword? That very word that you speak will come back to haunt you. You will bind yourself up with your own words. That sword will come and devour you. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So the Lord is saying that we need to make sure we are willing and obedient. Psalm 116, verse 10. Psalm 116, verse 10 says, I believed, and therefore have I spoken, even when I was greatly afflicted. Or even when I said in the Amplified, I am greatly afflicted. I believed, and therefore have I spoken. You see that? Faith before speaking. It is important. We need to check our hearts. We need to make sure that we are built up in faith, that we are in the Word, that we're meditating the Word, that the Word is built into us. Because I said to the Lord once, you know, okay, Lord, I have CDs and tapes and stuff. I can listen to the Word and I can meditate on the Word and all that. But how did Paul and these guys do that? Because they didn't have Bibles that they carried around. If Paul as a rabbi wanted to carry that Bible, he would have had to have a whole team of guys, those parchment rolls to carry them around. You know, and okay, where is that scripture? You know, so he's going to unroll the whole thing. No, they meditated the Word of God. The Hebrew children were brought up with the Word of God. They were taught the Word of God with rhyme and with song. And so they grew up with it. They would sing scripture. And so it would penetrate their hearts. It would be written on the tablets of their hearts. That's why the Lord can say that train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from that way. Because they did that from small. But we can do the same. I'm not saying to you that, you know, spend time reading the Bible the whole day. We have technology today. We can listen to the Word. We can read the Word. There are more Bibles available now than at any other time in history. You have it available to you. And it's God's doing. He's making the Word available to His people, to anybody who's willing to hear. I believed, and therefore I spoke. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. Faith before speaking. Yet we have the same spirit of faith as he had who wrote, I have believed, and therefore have I spoken. Are you hearing what it's saying there? This is what the Amplified Bible says. 2 Corinthians 4:13. Yet we have the same spirit of faith as the one who wrote. Okay, and we're assuming it's probably David that wrote that psalm. We have the same spirit of faith as he who wrote, I have believed and therefore have I spoken. the same spirit of faith. Do we look up to David? Yes. Is he one of the heroes of faith? Yes. Jesus is called what? The son of David. Why? Because of who David was. He's a father of the faith. So we can read the Psalms and we can see the exploits of David that he did in faith. I mean, he ripped bears apart and he tore the lion apart and so forth. And he went and he killed Goliath with a small stone and so forth. They were exploits of faith. And so he says, we have the same spirit of faith as he who wrote, I have believed and therefore have I spoken. So the question is this, what do you believe? It should be easy for us to answer that. But let's really look at it. Let's, when we go away from here today, let's really think about this. What do we believe? What do we speak? What do we allow to come out of our mouths? Romans 10 verse 8. Romans 10:8, what does it say? The word, God's message is in Christ is near you, on your lips, in your heart. That is the word, the message, the basis, and object of faith which we preach. Remember we read Isaiah 51 just now. Verse 16, he said, I have put my words in your mouth. So here it says, the word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. The word of faith. There are other words in the world. There are other words that we can speak. But the word of God is the word of faith. And Paul is talking to the Roman Christians, Roman believers. So you're the believers here today in this area called Recoleta. So God is saying to us, the word of faith is in your mouth and in your heart. So what must you do with it? You must speak it out. Speak it out. Doesn't matter how funny people look at you. They are going to look at you as if you're strange. But you're in good company because we serve someone who spoke to trees and then they died. So, but he also did some other wonderful things. He raised people from the dead. He created things out of nothing. He put eyeballs where there were no eyeballs, etc. Spits in the mud, makes a little bit of clay. I mean, I can just imagine what he did. I mean, we think he just came and he made little patties and he just put it on. No, no, no. You know what I think he did? He really rubbed it and there was this nice soil there in Israel. I've seen it's kind of like deserty kind of, you know, gritty. And so he opened the guy's eyelids and he stuck it in there and he rubbed it in. I think that's what he did. That's just my opinion, but that's what I think he did. That's why I had to go and wash his eyes out. So I don't think the guy was really impressed with him doing that. And remember, he spat on another guy's tongue who couldn't speak. How well will you go down today if you're in a prayer line somewhere and somebody stands there and they can't speak? And you say, listen, just open your mouth. The Lord used Annika and myself one day to get a shop like that for somebody. We spat on something. My dad needed a shop. They were in the Hatfield shopping center in Hatfield in Pretoria. And they needed another shop because they were renovating the other side of the whole complex. So nobody had shops. So there was this new section and they needed a shop. And so it was either them or another client. So the gift of faith operated. Faith just rose up in my heart and I said, I will not allow them to be stolen from. I said, Annika, let's go. And we drove all the way there. I walked to the shop. My dad told me which shop it was and we stood there. I mean, there's people in this arcade walking past us. I said, Lord, I'm doing this in faith. If spit could make people speak, then spit can make us have this shop. And we went, spat on the window and was running around like in little streams. That day, that afternoon, they phoned my father and said, Mr. Van Rooyen, you can have the shop. Then we went to a pastor's meeting the next week and we said, well, we've got some exciting news. Our faith is really working for us and our family. And we thought, wow, they're going to all be excited, man. They were not excited. They looked at us funny. They didn't even speak to us. Sorry. I still think it's exciting. So you better watch out there. I might start spitting here. So Romans 10:8. The word, God's message is near you, on your lips, in your heart. This word of faith, which we preach, which I am preaching, which I want you to preach, which I want you to speak. Speak to your car, speak to your children, speak to your house, speak to your money, speak to whatever. That is how you release your faith. Let's go to Deuteronomy 30. Let's go and see what the old people said about it. Deuteronomy 30, verse 14 and 15. Verse 14. You see where Romans 10, verse 8 comes from? Comes from here. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your mind and in your heart, so that you can what? Do it. See the progression here? We're learning about what faith is. We see how it operates. Then we start seeing, but we got to speak this thing. And then it's starting to say, yes, this must be in your word, mouth. It must be in your mouth and in your heart. Now we're seeing that it's also got to be in your mind. So your mind's got to be renewed to it. So we can speak it. We can think it. We can meditate on it. But we need to act on it. It's like the lady that Annika said to go and buy the bunch of flowers. If she didn't buy the bunch of flowers, if she didn't go to the florist, got the little card and everything, and had it delivered to the lady who she was going to have the interview with, that job would never have come to pass. She had to do something in faith. There's a story told, I read it in one of the biographies that I have of Smith Wigglesworth. He had a friend, and they were friends for 40 or 50 years or something, and this guy had no legs. Now he knows God used Smith Wigglesworth very powerfully. You know, eyes where there were no eyes, arms that were gone, had grown out and so forth. And I don't know if you remember that prophet, he's gone to be with the Lord now, David Griffiths. He used to be with Hatfield. I was friends with him, and I used to sometimes go to his house and sit and chat with him and so on, and go visit him in his office. He was about 8 or 9 years old, because he comes from England somewhere, Wales or something. And he was in one of Wigglesworth's meetings. And he said, you've never seen anything like that. He said, I saw whole eyes where there were no eyes. They were popping into people's eye sockets. Where there were no arms and stuff, they were coming out. So anyway, the story about Wigglesworth is this. This friend of his, for 40 or 50 years that they fellowshiped together, they would have tea in the afternoon or something, and would come and visit, and he had no legs. Now you would think, after such a time, and that, you know, he would have prayed for this man, but he was never led to do that. One afternoon, there they're sitting, like always, two good old friends just chatting and sharing around the word and so on, and all of a sudden, Wigglesworth says to him, go and buy yourself a pair of shoes. That's all he said to him. Now this man knew Wigglesworth well enough that he was not joking, that he meant for him to go and buy himself a pair of shoes. So he went to the shoe store, and you can imagine how that went down. So he sits down and he decides what size he wants. I mean, he decides what size shoe he wants. So he tells the person, the attendant, to go and get him the shoes. So he puts them on the stumps. Wigglesworth is not even there. He just acted in faith. He went and he did. And this is what I'm saying. We need to speak and do. Wigglesworth spoke the word. He released his faith like that. That man believed it. He acted on it. He put the shoes on the stumps and the legs grew out. He got legs. So they grew into the shoes and there he was. I don't know if he had shorts on or whatever he had on, but it must have been quite something. So he heard, he believed, and he spoke it out because he had to speak. He had to say, I mean, can you imagine? He walks in there, crutches, whatever, and his trousers are obviously rolled up because he has no legs. Now he's going to say, lady, gentleman, won't you please bring me number 9, those nice tan brown shoes over there, won't you bring them to me? Don't you think that was a challenge for him? He could have just turned around and said, no. But he knew the reputation of the Word of God. He knew the reputation of the man of God. He knew the integrity. So there's an action. But the Word is very near you, in your mouth and in your mind and in your heart, so that you can do it. You see that? Must be in your heart. We must speak it. We need to renew our minds to it. Not just memorize it. Renew the way that we think. And then verse 15 says, see, I've set before you this day life and good and death and evil. Look again at this. Verse 14, the word is near you, in your mouth, in your mind, in your heart, so that you can do it. That comes before the next verse. We can all see that. It's very straightforward and simple. But let it penetrate into our hearts. Many times we want to have this life and good, and you know, we want to enjoy life and we want to have the good of life. But we have not done the thing that goes before that. Yes, we can speak, but if your mind is not renewed, if the word is not engrafted into your heart, and you're not acting on it, if it's not a lifestyle, if you don't have a Christ-like life that just oozes the love of God and oozes the presence of God and just oozes the faith of God, then do not expect to see what he has said before you, life and good, death and evil. Again, it comes back to the same thing every time. Christ-likeness. Christ-likeness. It's all about him. He's growing us into his likeness. He's making us sons of God to manifest the kingdom of God in the earth. But I want to walk around like him. He said I can. I have tasted that. I think I shared last time or the previous time. I shared when God baptized me, or Jesus baptized me in the Holy Spirit, the power of God was on me for 3 or 4 months. And I saw this kind of thing. But obviously the character was not there. Things needed to change. God needed to grow me on the inside, that there's a maturity, so that I wouldn't abuse this power. But I saw this. I saw people just being healed just by being near me. Remember that woman with the issue of blood, she came and she just touched the hem of his garment. But remember at the same time, there were crowds of people, they were thronging Jesus like this. How do you think she got to him? First of all, she wasn't allowed there. She should have been stoned outside town, because you don't come there with that kind of thing that she'd been walking how many years? 10, 15 years or something? 18 years? Her faith was an action. She had heard something about Jesus. She had heard the word of God. We've all heard this message before, but it never ceases to amaze me. I know that. But when it comes to me, I'm not prepared to go that extra mile because of, well, you know, what do people think? Sometimes I'm honest with you, sometimes, oh, what will my wife think? My wife loves me the way I am. I've never been loved like that by anyone. But that stupid thought still comes up in my heart. Oh, what will Annika think? Imagine this woman thronging like that in the streets or wherever they were, and now here she goes down. I mean, to be that low to touch the hem of the garment in those dusty little streets. There she's down on all fours between the feet. She must have been stood on a couple of times. And they wore sandals, so those feet were nice and, you know, mellow. What can we say? So there she goes. She's crawling through that. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, that's the action. She was speaking it. She was thinking it. She had heard. She acted on it. She was speaking it, thinking it. Was in her mouth, in her mind, in her heart, and she acted and she touched. And so that was the faith action. And Jesus said, somebody touched me. So here go the marvelettes again and said, Lord, I mean, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? These people are thronging you. They're touching you all the time and you say, who touched me? They really thought he was peculiar. But it was the faith touch. And these are basics that we already know. But I think God is dusting these things off. He's dusting it off for us. The last few years, God's been taking us back to these things. And it's awesome. Because you know what? My faith worked before. But things are happening now. God is demonstrating himself powerfully. And it's not just in front of my family and the people. It's in front of the people in the world. And that's what's exciting. They have no other explanation. And saying, you know, you're one of those Christian people. You know, so they're not like the believers who criticize you, say that you're funny or something. They immediately recognize the hand of God. And I close with Proverbs 18, verse 21. We're discussing what faith is. And so I believe that you're learning something because I'm really learning a lot there. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who indulge it shall eat the fruit of it, for death or for life. Let's go to the verse before. Look at that. Verse 20. A man's moral self shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth, and with the consequence of his words he must be satisfied, whether good or evil. Now there's a lesson. A man's moral self shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth, and with the consequence of his words he must be satisfied, whether good or evil. That's normally the first thing that I pick up when I'm sitting with somebody. If I counsel somebody or somebody comes and asks me for advice, I listen to what they say. Because what's in the heart will come out of the mouth. I can talk a lot, as you know. And I like to fellowship. So you better watch it if I'm standing next to you and I'm listening to what you're saying. Because then I'm listening, I'm hearing to see what's coming out of your mouth because I want to know what's in your heart. But learn to listen to your own self. Learn to listen to those who are around you. And don't just come into agreement with anybody that says, "Ach, won't you just come into agreement with me for this?" No, you need to know what they are believing. You need to know what's in their heart. They can say something with their mouth, but their heart might be different. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And that's what we're trying to find out. And that's what we're trying to change. And so, Father, we thank you. We worship you, Lord. Father, thank you. You have placed your words in our mouths. Father, we thank you that you are teaching us. Thank you that you are training us. Thank you that you are establishing us in your word again. Thank you, Lord, for taking us back to basics. Father, I thank you that as we continue on with this series, that we'll truly understand what faith is. Because faith comes from you. So in essence, Lord, we will understand who you are. In a different way, a different facet, in a deeper way. And so we thank you for that. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that as we go from here, that we go in the spirit of faith that is in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for the faith that has arisen in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that we can speak life. Thank you, Lord, that you are the author of our future. And Lord, as we yield ourselves, as we yield our lips and our tongues to speak the word forth, we thank you that you are actually creating our future, our good future, a good life, Lord, a life that will bless others, a life that will change the lives of others, a life of blessing and increase and abundance, the way that you meant it for us. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen.